Om Shanti, everyone. Welcome to one of the most exciting conversations that we're going to have this evening. Welcome, Jenti Didi. Thank you so much for being here with us. So I would like to give the introduction to our conversationalists. Can you hear? Okay, good. Jenti Didi has been with the Brahma Kumaris and for over 50 years, and she is the additional administrator head of all the Brahma Kumari centers in the world. She is the emissary of peace at the UN for 45 years. She actually heads the delegation at the UN. She is focusing mostly on climate change, and she speaks internationally about climate change and how human consciousness affects the climate. She's also fully involved with COP, and she even has led the meditation in the World Economic Forum in Davos. She has said that her life is like a divine plan. I think all of us are, aren't we? Is that so? We're all under this divine plan, but she's very aware of this divine plan. At the age of 8, her and her family moved from Pune to England. And at age 19, she had a profound change in the direction of her life. Her and her mother went back to Pune. What's that? Oh, a short? Oh, you want me to be short? I'll try, but your bio is so huge. Okay. But I really like this part, Jenti Ben. So she went to Pune. She wasn't really thrilled about going with her mom, but she went anyway, being so devoted. And when she got to the center, she experienced divine energy and a profound peace. And Mama was there at the time for a few days, so she got to meet Mama and felt her motherly love. And then she heard Mama's Murali, and when she heard the Murali, she had a deep connection with herself. And so I'll make it short. I'm running out of words. So we're really happy to have you here. When I think about Jenti Ben, I think about grace. She handles herself so gracefully and situations so gracefully. And she's going to have a conversation with Mary Ann. And Mary Ann has been the facilitator of the events at Costa Rica for 29 years. She also participates at the BKUN office. And her focus is on women empowerment and the Shiv Shakti Leadership Initiative. And when I think about Mary Ann, I think about a bright light. So welcome to both of you, and we're looking forward to your sharing.
Om Shanti. Thank you, Dorothy. And it's so great gift to have you, Jenti Didi, with us. I feel that all of us are so happy to have you with us. That is wonderful. And with this topic that is in a way, in Brahmin life, is a paradox, like to be independent. Because recently, Baba said that even though he is making us independent, self-sovereign, autonomous, he said something interesting. He says that many says, I want to remain independent, but the Father says, it's good to remain dependent. You all have to depend on the Father. It is by trying to be independent that you fall down. You all depend on Shiv Baba. So it sounds like a paradox. So in a way, we have to be very independent emotionally and financially and many ways. But what is that dependency that Baba is talking about that it's good to have with him?
Om Shanti. Thank you, Dorothy, for that warm welcome. Let me share a little story with you. There's a person who has recently discovered she had a heart problem, and she's in India. She's of Indian origin, but lives in another country now doing service. And so she found herself alone in India, no relatives around her as such who could help her. So she was asking me, who do I go to? What do I do with this heart issue? And so I told her what I know, the person who was Nirbhay's heart specialist. And so I gave her the name, and it would have been easy for her to follow up with that. But somehow she met various people in Bombay, and she was then able to get recommendations for this one, that one, and the other one. And then somebody recommended somebody else. And so she went along, and she had to stay at the hospital. And she discovered that they did an angiogram just to check things, but she didn't actually need any further surgery or even angioplasty or anything. Or she didn't need any intervention. The doctor said she just needed medication. And so she wrote to me to say, just now, maybe the day before or yesterday, that it's amazing how Baba is looking after me. If I'd had the thought, I'm alone, how am I going to manage, what am I going to do, what's going to be the aftercare, it would be in all questions, many different things. But somehow Baba took me to the right person, and I know that it was Baba who was guiding me and Baba who was helping this person also. Because you know, in hospitals nowadays, and I don't think I'm defaming anyone, but they try to put you through various tests and more tests and more tests, and it's all a big commercial jungle. And yet this person told her, that's it, she didn't need anything further, she can go home. And so she's saying that, how did it all happen so magically? It's Baba. And so if she had thought, if she'd had those waste thoughts of, who's going to help me, how am I going to know which is right, what is wrong, she could have been in a real mess. But just that faith, okay, Baba's with me. Yes, I am physically alone, but Baba's with me. And so the sort of help that we get from Baba, we forget sometimes that Baba is God. And so to take help from God is the most natural thing we can do in Sangam Yuga. So it's not even a dependency, it's my right. Baba is teaching me how to be free from all the bondages here and be connected to one. And that makes me able to be a master of the self for at least 2,500 years. So in one birth, we learn to be free and take power so that we can then be independent for 2,500 years. Like Baba said today, all the people in Satyug, not just the kings, but everybody is free from attachment. You want another story?
Yes.
Again, real story. Some of you knew the early days, the sisters in London. And so she was one of the very early sisters who came. And she had had many, many gurus, including all the famous ones, Krishnamurti and so on. And she was their first English follower. And so she had a special role in the drama, being searching in Christianity from 13 years of age, esoteric Christianity and so on and so on. And after she'd been with Baba for a few months, Krishnamurti visited. He was alive. And so she went to meet with him. And he said, how are you doing? And she said, Guruji, I found the secret of doing what you asked me to do. So when you asked me to do it, I couldn't do it. And what he had been talking about was detachment, free from any attachments. And by the time she came to us, she was single and her children weren't around with her. So she was actually free. But of course, the threads of attachment are subtle. And so she said how she had really tried to be detached from her children and her husband, but it was never clean in that way. There were always strings pulling her. And she realized when she came to Baba that if she had all her attachment for one and take love from one, automatically the other attachments fell away. And she said to Krishnamurti, "I found the right path for me." And he said, "You have to be strong to follow that path." At least I never heard if he met with the Brahma Kumaris, but he knew of them and he knew of their teachings. Somebody must have told him about celibacy, etc., etc. And so Madeline, who remembers Madeline? Mirabai? Mona? Yeah. I'm talking about Madeline, and Madeline's now in another form somewhere, so I can mention her name. And so it was Madeline. She was the first sister who actually became a very Pakka Brahmin from the English class. Mm. She started the English class, basically.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
So going into that, today, because you are talking, so to really have this connection with Baba, and he's the only one. And today he said that even though, like, if we really understand or know the drama, know Baba, and if we have the power of yoga, we are not going to be affected by things happening around. And especially if someone leaves the body, we will not suffer, not have any kind of sadness. And so for me, it was like, oops, I do have some feelings sometimes, no? And I was thinking, but I know the drama. I know that things are happening in the right time, in the right way. Why am I still feeling a little bit sad? Like, what is really this power of yoga? Because sometimes we feel then, oops, we are not being real yogis. Because maybe it's still in their head, but the heart is not following. So we are not emotionally independent. We still are affected by situations. So what is that kind of yoga? How can we reach to that level that Baba was talking today?
When Baba says, how much yoga power have you accumulated? And today Baba was talking about yoga power in that context of sorrow. But what is it that I'm using yoga power for? I'm having yoga every day, but through the day I'm using yoga to try and stop my waste thoughts. I'm trying to control my senses. When my tongue says, have another ice cream, I'm telling myself, no, one is enough. I'm using yoga power to stop that desire. So through the day, or I'm listening to somebody and I'm getting a bit impatient and I'm trying to keep myself calm. So all of this is using my yoga power. So although I'm having yoga, I'm not really accumulating that amount of yoga power. You know, it's like your telephone. You're using the battery as you go along, but you're using it for whatever it is you need. So in the same way, I think that for most Brahmins, we're taking from Baba, but we're using all that energy just to keep moving along without getting into any further trouble. And if I don't even have enough yoga power to protect myself from anything in that way, in which I say a wrong word or I have a wrong thought, it means that I don't have enough yoga power. And so that stage where it's not just managing myself, but actually finishing the past karma, settling things so that then I have more and more strength and capacity within myself. So what I need to do is to have really attention on myself through the day so that I am soul conscious, and with that attention there aren't waste thoughts, there isn't anything wrong that's said, and so the power I've taken from Baba is actually accumulating. Then I can say, yes, whatever happens, I'm stable. I'm not going to be shaken.
Mm.
And I think that a lovely example of all of this was, I'm saying lovely, but it's in the context of BK life. When the fires were happening in Los Angeles, Geeta Ben would be in touch with us from time to time. And she would say, we're okay. Yes, some of the families have had to evacuate their homes. And since reaching India, I haven't had a chance to look, or even before a few days there, I haven't had a chance to look at anything in the news. So I don't know what's happening there now. But I'm sure things are better. Things may have settled. But that was a very interesting time for her. Was she stable? Was she scared? Was she able to help the others who were in need? And yes, tick, 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 you can say she passed through all of that very well. And so, a clear example. Things happen in a way that I don't want, I'm not expecting, but they're happening. And here it was the combination. You know, at one point I'd arrived in India, and it was around end of January, early February, and this was the earthquake in Bhuj some years ago. And as soon as I arrived at Lotus House in Ahmedabad, they were hearing the news of this earthquake. They'd felt the tremors also. And came to Madhuban, the roads from Ahmedabad, some of them had been affected. Some buildings had been affected even in Ahmedabad, but not where Lotus House is. So we were able to come very comfortably to Abu. And the Murli that Avyakt Baba spoke, I wouldn't remember the dates, but Baba said, now you've just seen the upheaval in one of the elements of nature. But as time goes on, you will see more of the different elements dancing. So when there's upheaval, Baba calls it, Baba's language is always very royal. So Baba said, you'll see more of the elements dancing, and just imagine what's going to happen when all the elements are dancing together. And so here we were seeing the drought, and so the heat, the sun, the air hot, but then the wind, high, high speed winds coming. In a way that the people who forecast weather, they hadn't predicted that it could be such strong winds. And the climate change people have been warning this is happening, but they don't give us any date. Baba doesn't give us any date. But the combination of the heat and the wind, and that's what happened. So I need to learn to be stable. I'm free from being impacted, whether it's by sorrow or whether it's by desires, my attachments.
Hmm. So in order, because you have been with Baba many years, so I'm sure you had like time to accumulate the power of yoga. But for the ones who don't have so much time, or maybe we came a little bit late, what do you suggest to really accumulate enough power?
I'm thinking that people who came many years ago in Gyan have also been through many, many storms. Mm. Am I right? You don't have to put up your hands or anything, but it's a reality. Whether it's 50 years, 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, many, many different things have happened, whether it's on scars or situations, all sorts of things. So we've used a lot of our yoga power in just dealing with all of those things and getting through that. And I shouldn't speak for everyone, I should speak just for myself.
Mm.
I know that I've had to deal with my own sanskars that I didn't even know were there.
Mm.
Who knew their sanskars before they started doing the clean out? Not many. And so a lot of our yoga power went in that. So it's not a question of comparison on any level. Each one has their own things to sort out. But yes, at this point, whether it's for the new ones or the old ones, I think what we now need to do is to say, like Baba's been telling us in the last two Muralis, stop. Actually, it was also in one of the blessings, I think, and the Murali on Sunday, stop playing with dolls. Mm-hmm. You know, there's little things that happen and we blow them up and make them big and we don't need to. Just stay up above with Baba, and all of these little things are really quite little. Mm. And Baba said, when it's big things, make them little, and when it's little things, blow them away. Mm-hmm. And so if I learn to do that, then I'm not wasting my time and my inner energy and power in trying to sort out all of these things. Mm-hmm. Just keep yourself up above with Baba, and you'll see everything as a game down below. And I'm not talking out of theory. I'm talking about experience, that this is truly the experience. You let yourself get here, then this one, this thing, that thing, and the other thing, and it drains you. Stay up above with Baba and see the drama, the games going on, and you'll smile and take Baba's love, and you won't be affected.
Mm. And in that sense, the sense of taking support of Baba, being beyond the situation, the Yagyas had some systems of support, I may say that. For example, one thing is to, even though we are independent, there is the system of asking for advice or asking for blessings, or sometimes in the Murali Baba said you can ask, and before you could ask directly to him and then you sort out your situations. And right now, what do you think is the way that the system that we have, like why is good and when is good, in which kind of situations is good to go to instruments and kind of look for advice or direction, and that is making us less independent, or why is that system in the Yagya put in place?
First, see who it is you trust, and if it's a question that you can't resolve yourself, and you can't remember any specific Murali in which Baba has talked about the situation. I'll give you an example. Baba has said, if you feel that your eyes are being drawn to an individual, well, recognize that that's the first sign of attachment and move away from that. Don't continue in that situation where the eyes are indication of the buddhi, where you're being pulled to sit with someone, talk to someone, be with someone, and it's innocent on that level. There's nothing impure in that way, but it's draining me of my energy. It's not allowing me to connect with Baba. So if I can deal with it myself, fine. And it's an indication of a sanskar that's coming up. So not to be scared about it, or why is this happening, but to recognize that it's a sign. And if I can deal with it now, very quickly, as soon as I've acknowledged that this is what's going on, can I really finish it? And if a little time passes, maybe a few days, maybe a week, and I still find that happening and draining, that's a time to see who it is who I can trust and talk to them. And by trust, I mean someone who you see is following Srimath themselves. And to go to them and say, this is the issue, I need Baba's help to put it right. So they're not going to tell me anything new. It's whatever I know already from Baba's Muralis. But at that moment of having the humility to acknowledge it in front of another yogi is a cleansing in which I'm able to take power, and with that, not that person, Baba, but through my honesty and humility, I can take power and I can finish it. So the criteria is when it's a personal situation or a personal sanskar, deal with it. And if you can't deal with it, then take help. Or if it's a question like buying a new house, but what did Baba say about it? Baba said in the Muralis, if you have the money, if you can fulfill your responsibilities and also take care of yourself and also do some service, well, yes, if you need it, fine, go ahead. But if I think about it, do I need a bigger house for myself if I'm alone? Well, how much time am I going to spend in that bigger house? So if I can work through it myself, but if I'm not able to go through all that logic and my feelings are coming in the way, then maybe that's a signal. My feelings being confused, or I'm thinking, yes, I'll do this, but my conscience is biting me. Again, it's a clear signal that maybe this isn't quite the right time to do this. So then go to somebody you trust and say, I'm thinking about this, but I'm not quite sure.
Good.
So I think you have to see where you're at and what is it that you need. There isn't a blanket answer, yes and no. But Baba's Muralis are quite specific about many different things.
It was suggested by the team to kind of make a pause, to go inside just one moment and just to feel or to kind of digest what you have heard by Jinti Didi. So if we can just pause for 1 minute and just in silence and experience. Thank you. In terms of relationships, can you share your experience with so many daddies and Baba? He sent daddies with little money, with no experience, and sent them to do service. But he was caring too, and he was loving with them. And so he had this balance on when to care, how to care, but to allow the others to be independent. And we kind of have that law, everyone is independent financially, with her health issues. But in terms of relationships with others, how can we be caring and being at the same time allowing others to be independent? And in the other hand, when I see that I am independent, sometimes we feel that we are independent because we live by ourselves. Many Brahmins live alone. Is that a good thing too? Like doing that, or should I kind of create more a culture of community? So I had that.
One of the beautiful things about Brahmin life is that Baba created a family. And one of the things that Daddy said to us very early on when she came to London, if I don't have a family already here, I have to create a family. Because Brahman life is not one of just solitude and sannyasi. And so yes, it's important to either be part of a community or help create a community. And that will be the power with which service can happen. Because how often have you heard Baba also say that service is the breath of Brahman life? And everybody knows that if they're engaged in service, it's very, very uplifting. And yes, I know the downside of service is sanskars and stuff, but the other downside of service also is that it takes a lot of time and attention. And then we say we're too busy and we don't have time for yoga, for tapasya. So service does create all those mayas. But yet, in every murali, you'll hear Baba talk about service. And so it's obviously a very important part of Brahman life. And so how can I do service on my own? How be able to do this much? But if I've created a family, and the family is now beginning to be independent and is creating a bigger family, well, that's beautiful. If I just keep them attached to me, and they say, oh, I can't go because I can't manage without you, well, what have you been doing? And so wherever you go, you create another family. But you don't stay on your own. You create a family. And I'm not talking about physically living alone or whatever. Like, here's a new center. A person will, abroad at least. In India, it doesn't happen. In India, there's always first the community that's created. They invite people. And then it's always two sisters who start a center, never one. And so in foreign lands, it doesn't work like that. One individual goes somewhere and creates a community. There's probably nothing there to begin with. But that community then is helping and supporting. And so maybe for a long time, they still live on their own, but they've created a family. They've created a community that's helping in Baba's work. That community is very much part of Brahman life.
Mm. And can you suggest which kind of skills or virtues we need to create a community?
Faith and love.
Mm.
Absolutely. How did the daddies do it? You know, wherever it is they went, they had God's love in their heart and that was shining from their eyes. They would speak about God and people would feel that vibration from them. Again, Sunday's murali, where Baba's talking about how people experience something if you have that love and faith in your heart. And that's the way in which service will happen. It doesn't happen through words. It doesn't happen through clever intellects. It doesn't happen through books that you've written or slideshows you've created. Think about all the different media we use. And all that is fine. It's great. And they'll say, beautiful. They'll be impressed. But they won't become Brahmins. But your love and faith can inspire them to become a Brahmin.
Hmm. That's beautiful. Because I feel that sometimes, because of many living alone, there is kind of fear of being dependent on someone. Because if you see the Brahmin family, many are over 60 or... Well, you cannot... Like, you can be younger but still have some illness that needs, require care. And so I have seen, like, I remember one story about Daddy Yankee that she was being taken with a wheelchair in the airport and she was saying something like, I'm free, like she was in the wheelchair but she was kind of feeling that she's not dependent, like she's free, like and so sometimes there is this fear of becoming dependent on someone for our care. So what do you feel that Daddy was experiencing that make her to feel that, like that and not feeling that the physical condition make her dependent.
It's interesting because Brahmins are an aging population, at least abroad. In Bharat, there's a whole big youth community, huge. But in most countries that I've been to, and certainly in the UK, just in the last 2 weeks, we've had 5 people fly away.
Mm.
Now, that's a lot, even for the UK. Mm. But 5 people have flown away. And so it's an idea of how really it is an aging community. If I have served with my heart in a very genuine way, and I've done it for Baba, then I see that Baba has provided the right instruments to help me at a time of need.
Mm.
And so I'm not dependent on them, I'm dependent on Baba.
Mm.
My karma is not with them. And they also will feel that they're doing it as a service. They're not doing it for me, but they're doing it as part of service for Baba,
mm.
with Baba's love. Mm. So it's up to my consciousness, but also it's up to what I have done so far.
Mm.
Where am I now? And if today I need to take physical help, I know that I have given everything that I have to Baba. I've given my love, my heart, my time, my energy, and so it's okay.
Hmm.
But if I feel and I know that I haven't invested that much in terms of good karma, then of course I'm concerned and I'm worried.
Hmm. Okay, interesting. In terms of relationship still, can you, like, there is a difference between familiarity, attachment, and pure brotherhood relationship. And in the centers, sometimes one is closer to certain souls than the others. And that could create divisions, groups, and dependencies. So what is your experience in this regard, and how can we divinize or have a pure relationships instead of that?
All of it is very subtle, and usually familiarity leads to dependency and attachment. If instead of the word love we use this word dependency, then you can see where it goes off track. If I'm living with people, of course, it's so important to share love with the whole group rather than focus on one individual. But even though I'm giving time and attention to everyone, everyone should feel that when I'm with them, my attention is focused on them rather than being divided here and there. And so it depends on how you feel towards them, and they will feel that vibration from you. And if truly I'm dependent on one person, attached to one particular individual, that will become visible. It's very clear.
Mm.
It should be visible to me, but if it's not and somebody gives me a signal, can I reflect on it instead of saying no, and being in denial? Can I reflect on it and just see, well, what is it that's making them say this? And I'll probably then be able to see what I've been doing, which is not as it should be. But otherwise, to have love for the people you live with, work with, those who come to class, of course you need to care for them and have love for all of them.
Hmm. And so you are talking about recognizing these sanskars, because none of us want to be dependent. Like all of us were... Once we were all self-sovereign, no? But we sometimes have those sanskars of dependency. And sometimes they are gross or evident, but sometimes they are not so evident. So what can you say about that?
Ask yourself a question. Who do I remember when I first wake up in the morning? And who am I remembering last thing before I fall asleep? And that will give you an idea of where your intellect is going and on a subtle level what's going on. Ask yourself, who appears in my dreams? And you'll be able to check and see, is it Baba? Is it the angels, the daddies? Is it other people? Is it always one person? So there are many ways to check the self. When I sit in yoga, when I'm trying to be soul conscious and connect with Baba, who is it who pulls my intellect? So there are very clear signs, and I just have to pick it up.
And when you recognize, there is some kind of tendency, or what do we do in that case?
Be very, very attentive to building up my stock of soul consciousness. If my soul consciousness is superficial, then that's where these other things come in. So I have to emphasize and focus my attention on soul consciousness and see everyone else as a soul, so that it's not one person who's drawing my attention. And if it's something that maybe I'm dependent on this person for IT, it happens a lot nowadays. Are there other people who could equally help me? Maybe I can myself learn a bit more so that I don't need to be dependent on anyone. But very often there's a few others who are around who could very easily do the same task, but my attention is on this one. So I feel that this is the one who can help me. But there might be others. And if there are others, then rather than one, can I say, can you do work in Baba's house and be available Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays? And the other one I say, the other days. So can I find ways to make me not dependent on one individual? And then if I'm seeing that it's work that's distributed between two or three, well, that's service, that's cooperation. And that's the opportunity for them also to get involved and come closer. Then it's not dependency. If it's one individual, and even though there are others, I ignore them and I focus on one, that's dependency.
So it's important to create these kind of teams. It's like to kind of work in teams is allow us to not be so dependent too.
The other thing that's now beginning to happen in Europe, certainly, and I think it's again a very big safety mechanism for everyone, and that's national coordinating teams rather than one national coordinator. We've also got now the situation where there are center coordinating teams rather than one individual. So I see that this whole subject it started about 10 years ago, but it's escalating now. And there's even now an RCT, a regional coordinating team, because, and here you have two members of the regional coordinating team for Australia Pacific.
Interesting, because for the family is something new, because we used to be dependent probably on one instrument, but to have a team for the family too is kind of stepping up, no?
The first one was Spain, the national coordinating team in Spain. And which year was that, Enrique? 2009. Okay, so that's now a long time. And it's still working hard, successfully. The original team members are still there, but the team has now expanded.
Wonderful. So we have just a few minutes. So if someone wants to ask something, if you have something in your heart and you want to ask Jenti Didi, please do it. Yes?
You'll need a microphone. And it's coming.
Sister Dorothy is coming with the microphone.
Here in the second row. It'll be difficult for her to come out with crossing 5 people.
Om Shanti. Okay. Yeah?
Can it's you okay? tell us your name and where you're from?
My name is Danielle. I'm from France originally, but I've been living in Kenya for 45 years. And I want to ask you, I know I should not ask in front of everybody, but this is a good opportunity. After I've done Amrit Vila, if sometimes I go back to bed and sleep, I have a very strange dream, not about sometimes even people are in life, but very strange. I don't know why. It doesn't make sense sometimes even. But very bad. I feel really, I say, I should not go back to sleep after I met Frila. What do you think?
If I think about what dreams are, there's many different aspects of dreams. But if dreams are strange and confusing, maybe I'm not processing what's happening through the day, and maybe night time is a time just to reflect on what's happened through the day, and it's almost like an audit. And if there's something that's made me nervous, made me afraid, maybe at that time I didn't have time to process my feelings, so maybe at night time before going to sleep, just to reflect and put it in front of Baba and take Baba's light and love, and maybe the dreams will then reflect a different reality.
Om Shanti, Sarah from UK. I liked what you said about community. I wondered if you would be able to share a bit about balance between in-person and online community, because for some they've developed an online community, but also to develop in-person, and what about the balance between the two?
It's interesting that it's from COVID times that online communities started to be formed, and some are very, very closely bonding with each other. I know that people who took the course in a group, and in those days we had many people in groups, what I found through the last 4 years since COVID times, those people have a very strong bond together, and some of them have a very strong bond with the center also. But they also keep in contact with each other and physically meet each other also. And it's good. I think where it's only online, I don't think it's totally satisfying. I think you need to go to a center, even if it's once a month or however far you live and whatever you can manage. And yes, once a week perhaps, but if not, once a month at least. And so what happens then is that you feel the vibrations of the center. Yes, people can pick up vibrations from your face being online, but really to actually meet together and feel Baba's house, Baba's vibrations, each other, it's a very different feeling. And plus you don't get any Brahma Bhojan online, you don't get any Toli online. And so when people come to Baba's home, that's part of the whole scenario.
So maybe to close, because we have, like, we will have an experience now with you.
Oh, you one have last one? Question.
Okay.
Okay, Michel from Serbia. You know, one of the name of God is Ishwar, which means, for my knowledge, the one which fulfills the pure desires. Can you explain the mechanisms of how God can fulfill the pure desire, and what does it mean for the soul to express a pure desire to God? Make sense?
Yeah, okay. Clear. I'm trying to think about my own experience with this, and what I've found is that even pure desires change through time. And so, for example, my pure desire, or I called it a pure desire, was that in the final moments I should be in Madhuban. I should be nowhere else, but I should be in Madhuban. And very early on, I said that to Daddy in London, because she wasn't able to come to India for 4 years. And so I said, Daddy, don't you miss Madhuban? And my thought is this. And she said, Baba's with me wherever I am. And so she wasn't missing Madhuban in that way. But of course, when she did come, she loved it. And then, of course, she was so valuable that they wanted her to stay here all the time. So today, I won't say that I have that pure desire. I'll be easy wherever it is I am. I just want to keep such a clear connection with God that that's my final thought when I leave. Not the place, but what my thought is. So I think if it's really a pure desire, Baba either fulfills it or it gets changed and transformed in some way or another. But most times I've found you don't need to tell Baba, I would like X, Y, Z. Things unfold in a beautiful way and in a better way than I could have planned or anticipated, more than I could have ever imagined.
Thank you. Thank you very much.